He covers the Chiefs.
With that, I'm yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Flair, over there in the middle on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, Blair, I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
Yes, indeed. Second half of the program begins right now with the chortles. The guffaws, if you will, of the great Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star joins us each and every week, brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, you know, there at I-35 in Santa Fe. Online at robertbrogdon.com, you can go check out their incredible line of cars, trucks, and SUVs. Right now, if your truck is your office, there is no better truck than the GMC Sierra pickup truck, and nobody has a better selection. Right, then Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, government approved essential business. Yes, they are available to meet all of your vehicle needs. Take advantage of it now. Right now, 0% for 84 months, no payment until August on the Buick Encore. You can take advantage of that. The Enclave, 0% for 72 months with no payments until August. GMC Sierra 1500, the 2020s, 0% for 84 months, and you will not make a payment until August. Like I said, if your truck is your office, there has never been a better time to buy than right now at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, and you can get your new or quality pre-owned vehicle delivered right to your door. That is right. You shop online, they'll bring the vehicle to you to test drive. Their finance department can handle everything remotely. That's at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe. You can check out more details at robertbrogdon.com and get the phone number, give them a call with any questions that you might have. They'll be happy to take care of you the way they've been taking care of my family with our vehicle since 2004. Some 17 years now we've been buying our vehicles at Brogdon. Go see him today. Mr. Kirchhoff joins us on our Sprint guest line. Blair, how are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well, as a matter of fact. Let's start with the release of the transcripts of the depositions of one David Beatty, former Williams Fund director Matt Beatty, and Kansas Athletic Director Jeff Long, Jesse Newell, and, you know, I don't have the story in front of me, another gentleman. I know Jesse. I did not know the other gentleman.
His name is Steve Vockrott, who's a news
Steve
reporter.
Vockrott. Yes, yeah. I do know who he is. I don't know him the way I know Jesse
right.
Newell. I have not enjoyed finger foods in Maui with this gentleman the way I have with Jesse Newell. Some bonding goes on. When, you know, two-hour-old lunch meats and cheeses are shared by individuals at a basketball tournament in a rec center.
That is some bonding right there, my friend.
That's right. We got that in common, me and Jesse. So what was your reaction when this stuff gets released, first of all? Just your general reaction, and then we'll drill down from there.
Okay, the general reaction is, what a mistake, not just signing a $3 million check over to David Beatty. In the grand scheme of things, the money to which Kansas owed David Beatty for firing him with 3 years left on his contract would have saved Kansas a lot of heartache and headache right now. But it didn't happen, right? Kansas wanted to delay the payment originally just for tax reasons. And then Beatty said, you know, Beatty's camp said no. And then a few weeks later, Kansas came back and said, well, we might have some violations. And so we're going to terminate you for cause or not have to pay you the money. And that's when this thing ramped up to where it is right now. And that's how we got or Jesse and Steve got hold of the depositions and 432 pages worth of conversation. And it is, what a mess for Jeff Long and for KU.
So let's back up. I mean, if I could see this coming, I said that exact same thing. Like, why don't you just give this guy the $3 million and be done with it? Because I can't see where the positive is. If I can think of that, Jeff Long's got to think of it, right? I mean, he can't have had the career he's had and not be able to see where this was going. I don't believe it. So are we to believe that the Kansas Athletic Department, somebody said to me the other day, $110 million budget for the Kansas Athletic Department couldn't come up with $3 million more dollars? Right. So, and I find that hard to believe unless Jeff Long took the job and the chancellor and or the money guys, as soon as he met him, somebody said to him, and whatever you do, don't come asking us to buy out a coach.
Another
right?
Coach.
That they're like, listen, the one thing we're not going to do, we're ready to rock and roll. You got a big, fat budget. Our basketball program, unlike many, is exorbitantly profitable, but we got to get football going. So, but just don't come ask us because we've paid out way too much. Curtis, what was the number you looked up? There was a rankings, and Kansas was fourth.
27 million, yeah. Kansas is fourth on the list. Nebraska was number one, by the way, for football and men's basketball coaches in the last 15 years. So that's 27
Is that the same thing,
dollars.
Curtis? Is that the same
exactly.
one? I'm curious. Sorry to cut you off there, Blair. I'm curious just because think about that. Kansas has spent zero on basketball, and they're all caught up with everybody just off what they've spent on football coaches.
That's the same one.
Yeah. So
amazing.
So if that's the case, that they just don't have the stomach. Like, first of all, let me say shame on the chancellor and shame on you money guys. All right? Number one, that's – and shame on Jeff Long for accepting the job under those circumstances. It does show a bit of desperate nature for either Jeff Long to take the job and or for the boosters to not be willing to do it. Like, you do what you got to do. You can't – and listen, I don't even – I'm going a little further than I'd like to go on this subject. But the other direction I go is moron. Okay, so I don't want to go to Moronville. So I want to find another avenue to where I don't just have to go – or and moron's not fair. I take that back. But just incredibly short-sighted. Just an unbelievable failure to not understand what's going to happen in this situation if you just did it thinking you could get away with it. Like, that scenario's actually more damning, I think, and for me, more embarrassing than if there was some kind of, like, listen, you can do whatever, just we're not paying any more football coaches not to coach here. Like, that's just awful business. That's just terrible business. But if you did accept the job under those circumstances, and to feel like Les Miles is the only guy that can possibly coach for that, or to just have so much admiration and affection for your buddy that you want to give him that job, to walk down this road and put the university in this situation is terrible. Like, I don't care who's at fault, right? It's the guy who comes out of the tower in Top Gun after his coffee got thrown in his face when Maverick buzzed the tower. And he goes down to the guy's office and he yells, I want some butts. He doesn't say, I want his butt. I want Maverick's butt. I want your butt. He just says, I want some butts. He wants somebody to pay the price. By the way, thank you, Doug Stewart. I'm stealing this from Doug. Right? He just says, I want some butts. Right? Like, how you're sitting here in this situation, if I were the chancellor or the board or whoever's ultimately responsible, or certainly if I was a money guy, and maybe the money guys are the butts you need, I want somebody's, you know, but because how are we in this situation? If whoever said you can't buy anybody out, so and he said, well, I'll fire him and then I'll just find a reason why it's for cause. Well, whoever told him that edict, I want your butt. All right.
Well,
that's
right.
It. You're done.
If
it's Jeff Long, just like he knew that he couldn't do that, but he wanted to get Les Miles because Les said, listen, I'm taking a job this year. Now it's time for me to get paid. You either hire me now or I'm not coming around. Well, then you got there are other candidates. There are other good coaches out there. You have to be good enough to find them. Then it's Jeff Long that's here. I mean, somebody has to be responsible for putting the university in this situation because it was one day of conversation, but it's going to be many, many more.
Yeah, no doubt. And we know that Les was Jeff Long's guy from the outset based on the, you know, the deposition when Jeff couldn't come up with the names of the other candidates that he supposedly was interested in or you know, or loosely named the other candidates. And then the other thing was, heck, ESPN cameras were filming Les Miles when he was in Louisiana, you know, on the phone with Jeff Long for the you know, for the series that ESPN did this past year. I forgot what it was called, but I mean, that deal was it was in the works. And listen, you're absolutely right when you say, you know, this was bungled at, you know, at the moment, you know, it was decided by Jeff Long or whoever that you know, they were going to pull this $3 million away from David Beatty and totally underestimating what the response would be. Did Kansas think that Beatty would just say, "Oh, that's okay, no problem. We'll go quietly here"? That is a total miscalculation of the response from a coach who was, you know, who gave 4 years to, you know, probably 1 year too many. Jeff Long shouldn't have had to make the decision. It should have been made before Jeff Long got there. David Beatty shouldn't have been given a fourth year, but he was. And Shane Zinger was fired, and Jeff Long was brought in. And look, it's his absolute right to fire a football coach. No doubt about it. Every coaches get fired all the time. Jim Sterk fired Barry Odom. You know, coaches get fired, but to bungle the firing and to have the, you know, the buyout blow up in his face the way that this one has is, is it too late for Kansas to say, "Oh no, look, here's a $3 million. Just make all this go away"? Because now Beatty's lawyers are depositioning. You know, they want TJ Gasnola. They want everything that Kansas has on, you know, in investigation wise. So, you know, this is just for Kansas, just another couple of days of embarrassment. And I don't know how it's going to end. I just don't. I don't know if there's, you know, Kansas came out and tried to and defended itself, right? They had a response. They stated, you know, we normally don't respond to this, but, you know, they've tried to, they've tried to fire back at the Beatty camp, and it just gets uglier and uglier.
Well, by the way, was that a good move?
What was?
I had it. I have to go back Jesse tweeted it out, and I read it from Jesse's tweet that they said, "Listen, we normally have no response for this, but we want to say, well, you know what that is? That's Jeff Long. That's Jeff Long didn't like his name being dragged through the mud. He's the only guy that could put that out there. And by the way, I've been grinding my way through that transcript. I know Jesse and your crew has gone through the whole thing already. And you know, he was talking about, you know, wanting to go to sleep because I'm sure he'd been up reading it. And I've been through quite a bit of it. I don't even know where I'm at on the total. But anyway, and there's some interesting things in there. I mean, you can see what the legal tactic is going to be from David Beatty's side. But first of all, there shouldn't have been a response from Kansas. The response from Kansas almost validates it, right? Like, you just don't respond because it's not worth your responding to. That should be the approach. Because then when you respond, then there's a reason to talk about it again, right?
Right,
I remember
I
had somebody a long time ago. I got called into a meeting, and it was with a sports figure. I was impressed that they actually asked for somebody else's opinion. They're like, "Well, we want to fire back about this," and blah, 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 blah. And I said, "No, don't." I'm like, "Well, what? We got to set the record straight." I said, "Because every time you respond, it's a new story. And it's got a new 24-hour cycle. And then when you respond, there's a reason for everybody who covers it to then go ask the other guy for him to respond. And then when he responds, it's another 24-hour cycle." Okay? So let it end. Take your bullets. This is why you make what you make. Take these bullets, okay, and move on. Let it end here. Otherwise, you perpetuate it and keep it going and make it a bigger deal. That, to me, is what Kansas did. Now, David Beatty's team hasn't fired back, and I actually think the lawyers missed an opportunity to get back out there in front of him when he did respond with that. They should have been out there because, to me, the whole thing of what they're doing is to apply pressure to Kansas to get them to settle. Right? You want to make it so uncomfortable that they settle. And that's why you mentioned the asking about Gasnola. I was reading one part of it. You know, they're digging at the basketball stuff, which clearly has no bearing on David Beatty. The pretenses with which they're doing it is trying to set up a precedent of Jeff Long having stood watch on other investigations and not having thrown down any discipline of any kind until the investigation was over.
Yeah,
right?
And
so that's what – sorry, one more thing, Blair.
Go ahead.
So they're setting that up, right? But then they're also wanting to get into the Kansas thing. And Kansas's lawyers clearly step in and say, no, we're not talking about that. Their lawyers go, well, wait a minute, I didn't fly out here to sit here and talk about nothingness. They go get the magistrate on the phone. Then they come back, and they're clearly told, no, there is a direction you can go with what's going on with the Kansas basketball deal. And they start asking questions about that. That clearly is just to bring as much of that Kansas basketball stuff out to light, which they know is going to be a pressure point, one, not only on Kansas fans, not only on Kansas boosters, but you know who else it's going to piss off? Bill Self. And they know if they piss off Bill Self enough, it'll turn Bill Self against Jeff Long, and they'll create enough havoc that maybe finally the university just goes, here's your $3 million. And frankly, by now the price may be $5 to get him to go away and jump the lawsuit. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to get as much stuff out there that no athletic program would ever want. You know, I talked to some people about this, Blair, and I said, what do you think about it? And they said, well, the first thing, you never put an athletic director in front of lawyers. Like, you just, there's whatever it takes to not do that, you don't do it. You never want your athletic director out there, just because the business is what it is, and there's too many people that don't like how much money is in athletics, and anything that comes out from the athletic director is going to be bad news for the university. So you never let an AD be deposed. You do whatever it takes to never get to that point.
Yeah.
Sorry, now there's my spiel. You go ahead.
Well, the point, I guess, that the Beatty camp is making here is, they're trying to get Jeff Long to say, what Beatty did, or what you're accusing Beatty of doing, is worse than what the NCAA has accused, the basketball program of doing, which is 5 level 1 violations. And, that they got, there was a dialogue between Beatty and the Jeff Long and the Beatty attorneys over that. And the other thing, with Beatty, they brought Mark Mangino into this, tried to go back to the trouble that Kansas got into. It was early in the Lou Perkins era with Kansas football when they were put on probation. So I think there's some strategy happening here with the Beatty camp that frankly I haven't seen. It's kind of fascinating, and you really do get a peek behind the curtain, if you will, on what happens, or some strategies involved in college athletics. But the other thing that is it's all based on this, not assistant coaches, but people who are not authorized to help coaching players. That was the violation that was a grad assistant. I can't remember exactly what the title was, but people who were not authorized to coach football players were doing so, according to Kansas. That's why Kansas, that was the violation that Kansas says allows them not to pay David Beatty. And then Jesse Newell, through his reporting, learned that basically the same thing happened with Les Miles. And Kansas is saying, no, they're separate, and the level of they're just different. They're separate incidents, and one's just worse than the other. And the more you learn about this and the more you read, which has been a lot here in the last couple of days, right, the more you just shake your head and saying, what is Kansas doing here? And initially, you didn't want to believe the lawyers, the Beatty camp's assertion that Long, offhandedly said something like, "Hey, we got to get something on this guy." You're thinking, well, listen, that's unless you've got that recorded or some sort of testimony, it's just offhand, and you just dismiss it. It's not, it's just rumor at that point. But gosh, it just, with what you've learned in the last couple of days through this deposition, you're thinking it's like Kansas was going to do anything it could not to pay David Beatty. And whatever you thought about him as a coach, and the success of the Kansas program in his 4 years, it just seems like this. He's in the right here. It seems to me that he is in the right.
Yeah, I don't see the avenue to which Kansas wins this one.
I don't either. I don't.
You know, although I will say this, this is one. Let me backtrack just a little bit. The way they could win is if at the end of the day, you know, it's spelled out somewhere in his contract, which I know has been was made public because it's a public university, about violations being for a cause. And it may be that Kansas goes through the muck here, and why they're trying to go after so many different things is because at the end of the day, even a level two or level three violation is enough to get you fired with cause. I think that would be hard to prove. But if that is the case, then maybe it will be open and shut. They don't have to pay him, and Kansas will just pay the price in you know, bad PR.
Publicity. Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's the case. I just don't. If there's a level one or level two or level three is enough to for Kansas to be successful in its decision not to pay off David Beatty. To be honest with you, I've never heard of a school not being, you know, not paying the buyout or not having some kind of settlement. I'd have to go back and look. Did George O'Leary get some sort of settlement? Did, you know, people who left in somewhat of a, you know, disgraceful way, Mike Price, remember him? Did he get some kind of settlement? I can't remember. But this isn't that. I mean, this wasn't a disgraceful departure. You know, nothing. You know, didn't falsify a record like O'Leary did, or you know, wasn't caught in, you know, doing nefarious, but embarrassing things like Mike Price. But I just wonder. You know, this is new to me. The withholding the buyout for an NCAA violation. I'm sure it's happened at some point.
Well, Kevin Ollie, they did it. Connecticut did it with Kevin Ollie.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I've forgotten about that.
That's the only one I could think of.
Yep.
But
I think he got UConn on probation with his violations. That would not be the case with these violations for Kansas.
No. No,
not to the extent. I mean, they wouldn't be out of post whatever level two or level three violations are. They would not rise to the level of a postseason ban or maybe a scholarship reduction. I don't know, but what's being accused of David Beatty doesn't rise to the level of what Kevin Ollie was accused of.
By the way, and UConn did not win. Kevin Ollie got his money. The thing I says, the arbitrator in the dispute between UConn and Kevin Ollie says the former basketball coach is protected by a union contract when it comes to the standard the school must meet in proving his ouster was justified. The union agreement requires a showing of serious misconduct. UConn had argued that Ollie's personal contract superseded union protections, allowing it to fire him for a broader range of offenses. What the hell union is he in?
I don't know.
The arbitrator plans hearings to determine whether UConn fired Ollie in March 18 just cause or if he's owed the more than $10 million that was left on his contract. NCAA Committee on Infractions last month placed UConn on 2 years of probation and sanctioned Ollie individually for numerous violations of the NCAA during his tenure there. But it sounds like, you know, what union was involved. I don't know. I'd have to dig even further on that.
Yeah.
But numerous
violations as well.
Yeah, and wherever they are, whatever the hell is going on there, is they seemingly are not going to, you know, so far it's leaning Kevin Ollie's way. I don't know. I mean, I know this. I know if Les Miles, if we have a season and Les Miles goes 8-4, no one in Kansas will care.
And you're right.
Do you agree with that?
Well, likely will they not care, but if fans are allowed in the stadium and the college football doesn't, you know, isn't out the type of money that they think they might be, then, you know, it's not going to matter at all. Then Kansas will be dealing more from a position of strength if that was the case.
Right. Where do you get last thing on this, and then we'll take a break and shift gears. Where does Jeff Long sit at Kansas now? You know, it's been he's been there now, what, 2 years? He got there in 18?
2 years, yep.
Okay, so two years in July. I remember when he first got there, I was at the American Century Championships in Tahoe, which with the cancellation of the British Open, I don't think I'm going to get a go-to, which sucks. But anyway, because it's always around that same weekend. But anyway, I remember I had him on the show. And listen, I enjoy talking to Jeff Long, and he's got a distinguished career. And so I remember that. So he's been there 2 years. You know, 2 years is long enough to start rubbing people the wrong way, right? It's also long enough to start building some serious allies, right, and have some strength. You have any vibe on where he sits? You know, is he got the money guys behind him and they believe in what he's doing? Is he sideways with Bill Self? We know that. I mean, I've said the thing you got to watch for the next couple of years is, does this go Al Bull? It's clear that, you know, we watch it go back and forth, right? They had Lou, they had an athletic director. Who was before Lou Perkins? Was it Dr. Bob Frederick?
Gosh darn it.
Yeah, I think it was. So it's Dr. Frederick, who's a swell guy, right? Nice guy. Hey, Bob Frederick,
well, Frederick,
nice guy.
It was Frederick Bull and then Lou Perkins.
Okay. And Bull was kind of a character. Lou Perkins was a ball buster, right? So they swing the other way to a ball buster. And it was also, by the way, they went from Dr. Bob basketball guy to Al Bull football guy.
Total
back to Lou Perkins.
Guy.
Lou Perkins, who was a basketball guy, although everyone's – well, he started the football program at Connecticut. Yeah, but basketball was king, right, to a basketball guy. To Shayen Zenger, football guy, right? And also from Ballbuster and Lou Perkins, who, you know, turned the seating thing upside down as how much money you gave, to then swell, you know, more mild-mannered guy in Shayen Zenger, to now more of an authoritative individual in Jeff Long.
And a football guy.
Right, and a football guy. So you see the pendulum kind of going back and forth. It's just like coaches, player coach to taskmaster, player coach to taskmaster. And so what I've said all along, what I think is important is, you know, Al Bull was clearly brought here to fix football. Yet again, even though it was the same thing Zenger was theoretically supposed to do. He was brought here to fix football. And what I'll always be cognizant of is the lesson I learned from watching the Al Bull time. And I always felt like Al Bull was brought in and told, don't worry about Roy. You just go fix football, right? And that's
right.
Pretty much, I mean, he all but said that's what the charge
that's
was
right.
He was given. Then when Roy got pissed, they all freaked out and fired him anyway. So I don't care what they told Jeff Long. You piss off Bill Self and the guys get worried that they're going to lose their basketball program, and they will fire Jeff Long, just like they fired Al Bull. They'll run him out of town. So I'm always cognizant. I have no feel that he's either dug in and tight with the money guys, nor do I have any feel that Jeff Long is sideways with Bill Self. But I think it's an important thing to watch. Do you have a feel on any of that?
I don't. I don't have a sense. No, I'll tell you what, though. Jeff Long is a respected, you know, athletic director in his profession. He was the first chairman of the college football playoff and probably the best one that they had. I mean, in terms of just the way he presented himself and the credibility of that group, he was a respected athletic director at Arkansas, and you know didn't get football back to where Arkansas fans wanted it. You know, made the Bielema hire, and that didn't work out. But when Kansas hired Jeff Long, I thought it was as close to a home run hire as Kansas could have made. And I'm not off that yet. Which is why I think that some of the decisions that have been made that have put Kansas in this position may not have originated with Jeff Long, and that he's doing the bidding of somebody else here. And I still... You know, until proven otherwise, I still think that he is, you know, an effective athletic director. There's no doubt, as you said, and it's proven that history's proven that, you get sideways with the wrong coaches. I think it's true of any sport. Look what happened to, Frank Martin and John Curry. Of course, it was Martin that left, but You know, they had a big falling out, and Martin was out the door. So disagreements between coaches and athletic directors do happen.
It sends one of them packing, right? And I'm with you. Yeah. I am not here to say that Jeff Long doesn't know what he's doing, because I've been around long enough like you. Like you just said, you think he's probably doing somebody else's bidding. To me, that's where it's important for Kansas to figure out who told him to go do this and to silence that person. I'm not saying they have to be fired, but if this was the chancellor's idea or it was one of your big money guys, they need to be told to back off, because that was a bad move. And we'll leave it at that. And if it was Jeff Long's idea, he needs to be told, listen, big picture here, guy. Big picture. Whoever it is, they just got to learn from this. Personally, they should write the check it would take to get this to go away now and move on. But maybe there's something bigger. Yeah, maybe there's something bigger. All right, we'll take a break. The great Blair Kirkhoff is with us here in the program from the Kansas City Star. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. They're at I-35 in Santa Fe. They are where you can get 0% for 84 months on a brand-new GMC Sierra. That's with no payments until August as well. And you know what? They'll bring it right to your door. That's right. They'll bring it right to your door. And even on the back of a truck where nothing has been touched, you can test drive it right there at your house. Handle all the financing and everything remotely over the computer, over the internet, over the phone. Get the vehicle you got to have right now, from Robert Brogdon Buick GMC at I-35 in Santa Fe.
The program with Soren Petro.
The 7 foot, 1 inch package of superhuman strength and sublime skill.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. In the three-point era, only one team has won a Final Four game without hitting a three-pointer. Who was it?
Oh, boy, so since 87, Blair. Blair Kirkhoff is with us, brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, where you can handle all your financing, everything over the phone. They'll even deliver the car to your house for you to test drive. 0% for 84 months on GMC Sierra pickup trucks, the best pickup truck on the road. It's at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. See them online at robertbrogdon.com. So one without hitting it in the championship game or the whole Final Four or the whole what?
Just the
what
Final Four. Only team to win a Final Four game in the three-point era without hitting a three.
Oh, so just win it, so they didn't necessarily win the championship.
No, just won a Final Four game.
Won a Final Four game. Blair, I would nominate the Michigan Wolverines back in the Weber era, because they weren't a great shooting team. They just pounded the rock inside with Howard and Jalen Rose on the drive, and even, you know, Jimmy King was the best shooter on the team, but he was streaky. Ray Jackson was
Rob Pelinka, maybe.
Yeah, but that's it. If he had an off day, I mean,
how about the Butler team that lost to UConn when scored only like 41 points in the game?
Oh, that's not bad.
2011.
The second one.
Yeah, the second one, not the Gordon Hayward, but the Mac led team. It was either I was going to go with that or the was it Michigan State in 2000, the Mateen Cleaves team that scored in the 50s to beat Wisconsin in the semifinal.
Oh, God,
it was 1917 at halftime or something.
That Dick Bennett team of wrestlers that just dared you to call a foul every time down.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, I got nothing better than those. So I like Michigan State or Butler. What do you got, Kay?
Your first instinct was correct. Michigan Wolverines in 1993 beat Kentucky in overtime without a three-pointer. The only other team to play a Final Four game.
Hey, Jed.
Yeah.
How about Rob Pelinka?
Yeah, he didn't make one that game. I was just giving you ideas and hints.
Yeah. Put that in your bong and smoke it.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to put other items.
The only other team to go without one was LSU against UCLA in 2006. They lost. A couple teams have won with just one. You mentioned that Butler game, that Butler team. Actually, UConn beat Butler in the championship game in 2011 with just one three-pointer.
Oh, God. That was the Duke. The Duke Butler championship game is the worst championship game I've seen ever played in any sport.
Oh, I tell you what, I think that UConn Butler game was awful. Butler was fantastic getting to title games and played just, you know, lights out great. But when they got to the title games, those were just terrible games.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I take it was brilliant coaching. I mean, it was literally maximizing every ounce of talent you've got, but it was just awful basketball to watch. Awful basketball
to watch.
Got
Brad Stevens a good NBA job.
Yeah, and he's done nothing but prove them right by being successful without a
when Missouri was going for coaches, player. they're like, how about Brad Stevens to Mizzou? I'm like, so he can do what? Go to a Final Four? I mean, what's the motivation to go from Butler to Missouri? I mean, he's already gotten to the title game back to back years of Butler. I think he's looking for higher than that.
Yeah. Listen, I want to play a cut. By the way, we're playing for Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Go see our friends at Joe's. You can order Joe's on your way home, joeskc.com, to find the phone number. The original in the gas station at 47th and Mission, 119th and Stringline Road, and 117th and Row. Get the phone numbers at joeskc.com. Of course, see the menu of all their wonderful barbecue. And don't forget about their sister restaurant, County Road Ice House. Go to countyroadicehouse.com. Call. They will give you take your payment. Give you time. You show up. They bring it right to your car. You're off and running, and nobody is more methodical in how they go about doing things than the folks at Joe's Kansas City, and they've always practiced the safest hygiene and sanitary conditions at their restaurants, and that does not change. They are absolutely the best. They are meticulous in how they do everything. Call them today. Go to joeskc.com. Find them online at countyroadicehouse.com. Blair, I want to play a cut from Gene Taylor. This comes from our buddy John Kurtz's program at KMAN in Manhattan, where he was talking about Kirk Herbstreit saying about not playing college football, and Gene Taylor certainly seems to bristle at that. This is basically just in general about getting the college football season going this year.
Well, I appreciate Kirk becoming a medical doctor and telling us what we should or shouldn't do, but I'm not ready to go there yet. You know, I certainly am hopeful that if we maintain the recommendations from the medical folks and stay away from one another and, you know, be careful and not doing any public events and crowds, that maybe by the, you know, 60, 90 days, we'll be at a point where we can bring our kids back to campus and at least start in, you know, practice sometime in July. You know, I think a lot of coaches feel if we had a 10 or 12, 14 day reacclimatization period that they could get into fall camp in the early August time frame. So I'm not ready to pull that plug yet. I'm just hoping that we maintain the things that the medical folks are telling us to maintain, and hopefully by the, you know, 60, 90 days, we're at a point where we can bring our kids back to campus.
You know, he has the frustration there early, Blair. He's clearly taking a shot at Kirk Herbstreit, like, hey, shut up, man. Don't be calling this. But then everything he says he hopes. Right? They're like, his first shot is like, you know, what are you doing? Like he's out of line for making that comment. However, then he does nothing to say that absolutely won't happen, right? So where do you think we're sitting as far as the college football season getting going on time?
Well, and Eli Drinkwitz had a similar comment about Kirk Herbstreit, you know, when he did his media session earlier this week. And then Eli Drinkwitz apologized the next day, said he didn't mean to take a shot at Kirk. Listen, first of all, I think it amplifies the influence that ESPN and their commentators have on college football, because I can't think of another sport. If Tony Romo had said that about the NFL, I think he'd be kind of scoffed at. I mean, who are you to say something like that now? And whoever would speak for baseball or as a commentator, I just don't think it would have been taken the same way that Herbstreit's, because when Herbstreit said that, it really blew up on social media as if he was the commissioner of college football or something. And I'm just thinking, he's just a talking head. You know what? I like him as an analyst, but you don't have to respond to this. Just let it float out there in the ether.
Doesn't it speak to how nervous they are about the season, though?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit for sure. And, you know, there was a story, you know, that's followed up with a story. Was it? I don't know if it came out. I think it came out today that a survey of the nation of the Division I, the 130 Division I athletic directors, really are concerned about the financial ramifications of not having or having some sort of truncated college football season. And, you know, they're kind of the belief that that they think there's it's going to be altered, or it's already been impacted, right, with no spring football and summer workouts already, you know, being curtailed or the talk of that. So it already has been affected. That's as Bob Bowlsby pointed out late last week, and I really appreciated him for saying it and being honest that you mess with college football and everything changes financially for these schools. You're talking about if you don't have college football money, both the TV money and the ticket sales, the gate receipts, you're talking about dropping sports and limiting salaries and laying off athletic department personnel. It's a big deal. That's how big college football is to campus life. I think they are a little nervous about it. And it's what Kirk Herbstreit said. He had every right to say it, and people have a right to react to it the way that they did as well. I just think you got to be prepared, and nobody knows anything, and nobody will know anything until we kind of get through this peak period. Which, if you believe the studies, it's going to be in late April and early May, depending on what part of the country you live in, what state you live in, and then I think we can start coming up with some sort of timetable for a return to sports after we get through the curve.
Yeah, I agree. What jumps out of me is kind of the nervousness, right? That's there. I think these football coaches are like, it's the first thing they're like, this might be us too. And so I think it's real. All right, let's take another break. We'll come back. We'll get into some draft news with Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star. He's always brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. They're at I-35 in Santa Fe in Olathe.
The Program with Seren Petro.
And from that moment forward, the name Seren Petro would conjure one image only. Perfection.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Program on 810. Seren Petro with you. Thanks for joining us here. As we all try to practice our social distancing, just a reminder to keep going. With that, do the right thing. Help us get this thing over with as quick as possible so we can get the college football season going on time. NFL draft looks like it's going to proceed. The NFL's put some there's a couple of different strategies that they've got, and they've given like two different options for the teams and how they can do it here. But some of the big news to me that's coming out from it is the fact that Tua Tagovailoa is healthy, right? I think that's big, Blair. Yep. And I think he should go no lower than number two. And I actually think if he is healthy, this gives the Bengals options at number one. I keep hearing people talk about the Dolphins really love Burrow. And everyone's like, but they know it's just too far to go up. But if you're the Dolphins, or excuse me, if you're the Bengals, and you can get a bunch of extra picks and still get Tua Tagovailoa, and if you graded Tagovailoa higher, which I think some people do, then that's not a bad idea. The Redskins seem to be brain dead at two, so you may only have to go to three. Chase Young went to Ohio State, so did Daniel Snyder, so that's it. They're going to take him number two almost no matter what, it seems like. But if Tua is healthy, and all the reports are that he is healthy, they showed him moving around, throwing the ball, there should be a bit of a frenzy up there for him, right? And I think it's important for the Chiefs. The higher he goes, the more likely there is to push four quarterbacks into the first round, and that means there's, that's four picks higher the Chiefs are on somebody they might actually want to draft because they're not going to take a quarterback in the first.
Yeah, it's a good point. The Chargers are the other team that you keep wondering about with Tua, and especially moving into the new stadium and needing. Being clearly the second team in that new stadium, needing some kind of splash at that position, and how what would the Chargers do? I think they're at six right now. The fact that Tua got a clean bill of health, and when he was good in college, he was fantastic. I mean, he was Joe Burrow before Joe Burrow, and so I I loved what Joe Burrow did this year, and but I don't know who I think is better. I think Tua is every bit the guy that Joe Burrow is. So, you know what? 1-2 wouldn't surprise, you know, what the Redskins are going to, you know, maybe they move down one. You know, maybe the Dolphins or the Chargers move up into number two, and they trade places with Washington, because the Giants are not, they're not going to draft a quarterback. And so, yeah, I'm with you. But let me ask you this, because I knew you were on the conference call today. Wasn't it just great to hear Andy Reid's voice today? It had been what, since the Super Bowl, really, and it just kind of felt a little normal just to hear Andy Reid on a telephone for half an hour today.
Yeah, it was. It was nice, and it was nice to hear football being talked about and all that kind of things, which, you know, speaks to me as to why, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, what's going to get us the games back is getting the numbers down. So I hope everybody is, you know, doing their part, because we all want to get going back to normal. And if you want the economy better, you need everybody to go back to work, and that's not going to happen until the numbers come down. So, you know, that's what needs to happen here in this country. And yeah, I hear Andy Reid, and I get excited about the season and what's out there. And, you know, I get excited about the Chiefs and the draft. I mean, you agree that the draft needs to take place at its scheduled time, correct?
Yeah. Whether it's, you know, whether people at their houses, or as Chief suggested today, maybe at a hotel where everybody's in a different room and communicating, you know, electronically, but in the same, under the same roof. Yeah, I do. The draft, I disagree with Adam Schefter. I think the draft does need to take place.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I like the hotel, put them all on the same floor in the order that they pick. And then if they trade, make them all get up and move and run down to the other room, and you know, so we can just see based on where they are, or get some 32 floor hotel and put them by floor, that way, you know, they can elevator up. We just moved up to two, so they go from, you know, eight and take an elevator up to two. That'd be great. We can watch all that.
That would be cool.
Blair, you're the best, my friend. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Terren, take care.
All right, Blair Kirchhoff with us. We're going to talk to Seth Waller next about the Chiefs.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, in what year did the Royals have their largest margin of victory in a home opener? Brought to you by Good Sense.